You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements of any type? If not, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Revelation today, chapter 13, starting in verse 12 through 18. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, we had a great week, and we enjoyed Texas. People down there are great. We got to talk to some, and refreshed our palate with all sorts of nice seafood. And that was cool. Had some fresh shrimp and flounder and all sorts of fish. And that was great. Went to a restaurant called Doc's. Read about Doc. And he was a great naval medical officer with all kinds of decorations. And had a love for the area. When we went to a museum of science and history, and there read about a lot of the early residents, real strong characters, people who were rugged in many ways, but loved the town. They really loved the Corpus Christi area and put their heart and soul into it. A lot of missionaries were there and worked hard. And so it was a refreshing time for us. We flew into College Station, and Ruben's got our Toyota Corolla there, so we jumped in that and drove the 4 hours down to Corpus Christi and drove back again on the Friday and caught our flight out and got back home here at 2 a.m. in the morning. But we had Saturday to get over it, so we're pretty good now, although I was pretty tired yesterday. So thank the Lord for the safety, all that we have enjoyed. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had together, Lord, so far in the worship service, and all the great music that we've got and the hymns of praise. We thank Thee for all that we remember in singing. And we ask, Lord, that we open up the scriptures, that we'd be refreshed again from Thy word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So I think this will be my last little message on UFOs and UFO-associated things. I think it's important to be able to address some of the difficult things that are happening in the world today. They are happening, and I have no doubt that they are happening. Long gone are the days where snickering at this and laughing at it is going to make it go away. It's not going to work. We now have lots of evidence that these things are happening. And so therefore, coming up with possible answers for what's happening, I think, is important to do. Now, there's a neat movie, you can see it on YouTube for free, and it goes by this name, A Strange Harvest, by Linda Moulton Howe. She was just a young lady when she first put this together, and she's continued in her research in this area, and probably is one of the world's foremost authorities on the history and the development in the present day situation concerning this business of mutilation of animals. And ranchers find this happening all over the United States, all over Britain, all over Europe, all over Australia and in New Zealand, all over the place. These things are going on. And It was first suggested, well, that this is satanic rituals and so on, which in some cases there will be examples of that happening, unfortunately, and the promotion of Satanism is on the increase. It very, very definitely is. And the southern border, I'm afraid, it's going on there big time with young children who are being ritually abused and finally destroyed and killed in this whole thing. And it's going on, and we need to be in serious prayer and wherever we can make and do and put into place action to stop this, the sooner the better. Sooner the better this southern border that gets cleaned up, the better. You know, and we've got some very good candidates coming forward who have got good policies, I believe, good policy decisions to fix it up. This Indian guy, Vivek, I think he's got some excellent policy, very, very good policy that he's bringing forward on some of these things. And these are important issues for us to face. But what I'm going to talk about today is not satanic ritual. And you can tell that this is not satanic ritual because of the way in which the cows are mutilated. The satanic ritual, they are all about theatricals. They're all about making it as gory and messy as possible. Now, I'm not saying there's no gore in this. There is. But the things that differentiate this from this kind of ritual abuse are these. The way that the animals are mutilated is with precision cuts. Absolutely precise. Certain organs are typically taken: the eye, the tongue, the sexual organs, and certain organs within inside the animal. Secondly, so there's the precision, the type of cuts, and then also thirdly, I should say, no blood. No blood. When you come across these animals and they've had all these things removed from them, you would expect to see blood everywhere. No blood. Zero. That is what distinguishes this that's going on. And the other thing is, there are no footprints of humans. There are no car tracks. They are just found in isolation out in the fields, usually with some sort of associated lights at night, typically, and various UFO activity associated with this. And as I say, it's now well documented. But the answer to the question, what is happening, of course, is still open. It's still open as to why these things are going on, who is doing it, and why this is important to whoever is doing this. Why is it important for them to do this? So this is something you should see. It's, as I say, it's a very important documentary. Now, too bad Kathy's not here, because she reminded me something last time which I didn't get to, and she's quite right to point this out. But in the King James, this comes from Zechariah 5, and in the last half of that chapter, it talks here about there was lifted up a talent of lead. A talent of lead. Now, this talent, the word there is kekah, which means round. It's used for a round of bread, for example, a round, or the round of a plane, right? That's how it's used. And if you look at this, and down here I've got a concordance of how kekah is used, and you can find it in different places. For example, if you look up at Jeremiah, just look at Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 21. Jeremiah 37 and verse 21. It says, "Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread of the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison." So where it says where it says here daily a piece of bread, that piece is the same word which means a round of bread. You can imagine the bread is round in shape. And this is how the word is quite commonly used. And in my slides last time, I neglected to show you the last slide. So this is the Hebrew word keker, and showing you that same thing that I was pointing out. It's just interesting to notice that, you know, when you look at what's mentioned in the first half of Zechariah 5, you've got this scroll, which has quite large dimensions, and then where it talks about this ephah, which would be this kind of like a bushel, and there is this talent, this disc or round of lead, which is placed on top of this container. I've got to hear some pictures that were basically artist's impression of what Commander Fraber came across when he was flying his flights and saw this thing near the water. And this is Dr. Peter Ruckman's impression of that talent, right? Some sort of a disc shape. It's kind of fascinating to me that these things are in the scriptures, that in this context, this is about a judgment which is coming, and a tremendous time to think about what the Lord himself said, that the time of the tribulation which is coming on this earth, there's never been a time like it, and there never will be a time after like it. That's what's coming on this earth. And the Babylon, where the mother of harlots is situated, will be rejuvenated. And right in the same area is the Euphrates, from which come these devilish things and occurrences. So I just want to round that off from last time. Thanks to Kathy Room for reminding me to do that. Okay, so we have talked about the situation which has to do with this oiketerion, the dwelling place. And this occurs twice in the Bible. And in the first case, it basically relates to the house which is from heaven, the resurrected body. For the oiketerion, you can see this oikos, the house, the place where you're going to live, right? This one which is from heaven, the heavenly resurrected body, that's what it's called, an oiketerion. And if you look at Jude 1:6, and the angels were kept not their first estate, but left their own oiketerion. See, that's interesting, isn't it? The angels, which are, you know, like heaven dwellers, they left their, as it were, resurrected body. Now, it's not the resurrected body, but it is nonetheless their own body suited to that realm which God had provided for them. And they left that heavenly body. Okay, they left it. It says he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. These were disobedient ones. So first of all, we can see obedient angels, we can see disobedient angels. It certainly is true. And the ones that were disobedient, and you can see, by the way, I've emphasized the oiketerion in both places there. Those are the only places in the scriptures where you'll find this. We have this, and I just made this up, where in 1 Peter 3:19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, where it says preached doesn't mean giving good news. All it means is proclaimed. Caruxo. Just proclaimed news to them. Okay? It wasn't like he preached the gospel of salvation to them. He simply proclaimed to them something, right? And here what I've got is these three arrows, right? One, two, and three. Time going by, going to the right. And if you remember in Genesis chapter 1, it says in there, and God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Right? It became so. It wasn't originally made that way. It became so. There is the indication in there of angelic disobedience. And quite possibly here is some sort of a movement of the angels in relationship to the earth and then judgment coming on them. So this first one right here in Genesis 1. And then in Genesis 6, let's just go across there and just have a look at this. So I'm trying to understand possibilities for what's going on today in relationship to UFOs and in relationship to mutilation of animals and relationship to what we are observing and farmers are observing. And there was a time where farmers in many states would rally together. They were so concerned of the fact that their animals were being mutilated that they would get on trucks with guns and stuff and go through the night looking for whoever is doing this to the animals. They never catch anyone. So here we have in Genesis chapter 6, and if you read down here in verse 4, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. And also after that. You notice that? And also after that. I'm suggesting that there are angels involved with disobedience right from the very beginning. After the earth was formed, before man came on the scene, there was some sort of disobedience and judgment on them happened, where number one is. And then what happens is there is the flood that comes onto the earth. And the reason for the flood is quite intriguing and important to understand. If you look down here in verse 9, it says this, chapter 6, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. You see, he was perfect in the sense that he had not had his genetics messed with by the fallen angels who came down and cohabited with women and produced this Nephilim. Nephilim comes from the verb nephal, to fall. The fallen ones, that's who they were. And certainly, in many cases, there were giants. But the root of this is nephal, to fall. These are the fallen ones, the angels who left their own estate, left their own oiketerion, they left their own habitation, and then in some way outfitted themselves able to produce offspring. Right? And you notice it says here, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. If you go down to verse 12, it says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Have you ever pondered the fact that the flood was here because of the genetic mess up that occurred through the fallen angels, the Nephilim, who came and corrupted the genetics of mankind? And God's method was the flood. The thing is to note, though, it says, and also after that, right? There were Nephilim in the earth in those days. And also after that. So the flood came and it wiped out a good many of them, but there was another eruption of these that came as well. And what was to happen through the obedience of the ones that God called, chiefly Abram, there was to be the sword of Israel to wipe these Nephilim out and their progeny, the sons of Anak, right? The sons of Anak. You can read about these, and that's really interesting to get a hold of this teaching, which I think most of you probably have. But look at this. This is Numbers 13:33. And there we saw the giants, these are the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. The sons of Anak. Now, you can trace all of these different families that come from this. And they became the tribes of Canaan. And what Israel was to do was to go out there and wipe them out. Wipe them out. But you notice they were disobedient in that as well. Very interesting teaching about this. Now, what I want you to do here is I want you to just go across with me to the book of Revelation. And I want you to just look at chapter 13, and I want us to ponder a few things about this. Revelation 13. And, of course, it's interesting, is Numbers 13, the rebellion number. Number 13. I mean, some people are so superstitious about 13 that in hotels sometimes you jump from 12 to 14. You know, this kind of stuff happens. Some people are really keen on this number. It says, verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Dragons, beasts. Notice the picture of this beast. "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." This is mimicking the Christ, the one who died and rose again, right? You can see all this kind of mimicry going on. "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast." And you say, well, no one's going to worship the dragon. Yes, they will, and they have, and are, even today. Many, many people are worshipping outright Satan. We've got people in our governments of this world who are worshippers out and out of Satan. We know that's true because they appear at satanic rituals. "And they worship the dragon which gave the power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Very powerful. Signs and wonders, man. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and," look at this, "his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." Them that dwell in heaven. Knowledge of the bigger picture they had, that there were people, beings in heaven. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Man, this is what's going to happen, friends. This is coming. This is coming. You can see it all shaping up by the Satanism that we see amongst our politicians around the world. Just look at their emblems. Their emblems. The United Nations. Just look at the emblems they use. Straight out of the Bible. The Tower of Babel, where they want to build a tower that reaches unto heaven and be unified. One world government. They know what's going on and they want to be a part of it. Isn't it remarkable? "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Justice is coming. And I beheld another beast. Now here it comes. This is the part I want you to notice, right? And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast. Okay, so that notice there's two beasts here. Before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. There comes the Antichrist. That's the one who had the wound healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, just like you find Elijah, prophet. And he and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power, look at this, verse 15, notice this, this is big. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. It's made, it's created, notice. This image is created. They have the technology to create this thing. But you know something? At the moment, a lot of evolutionary biologists are trying their best to create life in the lab. And they're getting no closer to it. No closer. It's getting more, as they learn more and more about the complexity of the cell, as they learn more about the biochemistry that's going on in the cell, so it becomes more and more likely that they'll never succeed in producing life in the lab by abiogenesis. That is just using chemicals and from these producing life out of the soup that they imagine that we came from. This is getting less and less likely as time goes on. But notice this. Success, in a sense, not out of a soup, but there is some kind of creation that the nations are encouraged to get together and make, and I would put in here, and it's my thoughts, that it will be the scientists will come forward and say, this is it here, here is the image. And then, what does it say? It says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So the image of the beast already existed. It was created by man. And now all that needs is some sort of inspiration to make this thing alive. And who is it but the second beast who has the power to do this? That the image of the beast should both speak. Oh, yeah. You talk about an AI, man. Chat GPT. What a piece of garbage, man, compared to this. And cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. What side is this AI on, man? This is Terminator Supreme. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about super duper Terminator. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Do you notice we had a little trial run of this? We had a little trial run. See if people would indeed be obedient. Were they obedient? Yes, they were obedient. Take your little passports. You can't buy or sell unless you've had the injection, right? That was on the cards, man. In this country, what really stopped it was people standing up for their constitutional rights, which in turn were our God-given rights, right? But we can see, friend, just by the masses of people who were brainwashed in this trial run of Satan, they will be obedient. And further, they will turn you in, man, if you're not obedient. It's very interesting, don't you think? So, what do we see? We must believe that the angels had access to this earth. We have to believe it. It's there in the scriptures. That there are angels who are obedient to God, they had access to the earth. We've got examples of Gabriel, who was in the scrap 21 days. He's only getting help for fortifications and reinforcements coming from Michael that meant that he could actually come and make his rendezvous on the earth. We have obedient and disobedient angels. Not only that, but we've got explicit instructions given here that there were disobedient angels who left their own spiritual body. We are looking forward to a spiritual body. They had a spiritual body, and they said, nope, I don't want that. I want something else. And they came to earth, and they produced offspring from this union, unholy union. And these were the fallen ones, the Nephilim. Okay. Now, you're in Revelation. If you go just back to Revelation chapter 9, just look at this, okay? And if you read, around about verse, we'll read from verse 1 just to get some context here. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, I've talked about this fact, that there are these subterranean regions, and there's not just one of them. It's clear that there are a number of them, and they have different functions. The different subterranean regions have different functions. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Okay, so that happens. Look down in verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Notice the description of these things. These are beings that come out of these regions. And they are genetic mix-ups. They are genetically messed with. Did you know that there's a company that's going to bring back the woolly mammoth? They're going to do it. Why? They've got all the material to do it. Mammoths have been found in Siberia whole, complete, complete. They've got all the material to bring them back. And they will do, I believe they'll do it. They'll bring them. Soon we'll see mammoths back. Well, do you think these angels do not have the knowledge to do even more crude and awful things with genetics? Man, it'll make the Nazis look like nothing. And here we've got some examples, right? The breastplates, as it were, the breastplates out of their breastplates of iron, and sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Very scary. And they will inflict some terrible things on here. Now, as you keep reading down, and I invite you to read the lot, verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Now wait. Notice that these angels, which were bound in the river Euphrates, they were bound for a specific time, right? For a very specific time. But as I've pointed out, there are many subterranean regions. And there's nothing in the scriptures that say that those ones are bound for a specific time. These ones were. These are bound for a specific time. But there's nothing that says that the other places where there's evidently angelic activity and experimentation going on, and that they have access to vehicles, no doubt from another dimension of where the angels come from, and that they are likely being involved with experimentation. And they may be taking these animals and excising parts of these animals to make and produce hybrids out of humans and animals. Hybrids. All these kind of things going on. Here's some of the pictures. Now, these pictures are totally mild, believe you me. And I've carefully taken pictures that you can look at. Right? But if you were to get this book here, which I'm reading through, this is the one, The Alien Harvest, by the same author. It's one of her later books. Man, oh man, oh man. The things going on in this world, and the thing about it is, it's not small. It's not like it's just one animal way over there and one over there. No. Thousands of these things going on. And you might say, it's just these black helicopters from the government and they're doing experiments. Yeah, why are they leaving evidence around the place then? Why are they doing that? It makes no sense. Now, it might be that the government knows more about what's going on than they want to admit. I can see that. Because they've kept a lot of this stuff away from us. But one explanation for what's going on through history and around the world is that there are these beings who have access to these subterranean regions. They get their craft from the interdimensions, that these creatures are carrying out experiments for the great day when they will be corrupting this world in a way that we could hardly even imagine. Remember, the angels in the very first case, they came because there's the promise of the seed of the woman, right? The seed of the woman. And they wanted to stop that from happening. So they tried to corrupt the seed of man and stop that from happening. So the pure seed, who is Jesus, could not come. They failed with that. Jesus now come. Now their next phase is in place. Well, that's my talk about the possibility of what's happening, right? There's the possibility that this is an explanation for what we see. We don't know all of it, but my friends, there are things happening in this world that you need to be aware of, and we all need to be aware of. This will bring to a close my series on the UFOs. The next time I will start on something different. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've had together. And Lord, that we can see in the Scriptures there's going to be some remarkable things happen in the future. But Lord, there are things happening today that we need to be able to give good answers to and possibilities for. We thank Thee for Jesus, whose death, burial, and resurrection has set us free. We pray for all of our relatives and those who are unwell, Lord, that Your Spirit would work even now in their lives and heal their bodies. And Lord, that we might live a fruitful and productive life in Thy sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.